And a reading from 1 John. That which was from the beginning, that which we have heard, that which we have seen with our eyes, that which we beheld and our hands handled concerning the word of life, and the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you the life, the eternal, which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you also, that you also may have fellowship with us. Yea, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write, that our joy may be made full. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the 8th century BC, the prophet Isaiah spoke of a coming Savior who would rescue Israel from her captivity in Babylon. Under severe oppression, the Israelites cried out, "How can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land?" They longed for freedom and redemption. They wanted to go home. Isaiah said to them, "The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel." I'm sure some of the people wanted to know when. When would this happen? When is kind of a funny word. Our when is not the same as God's when. But through Isaiah, God promised that a Savior would be born, a son would be given, a rose would bloom among the thorns, even in the middle of the desert. And this rose was called Emmanuel.
Thank you.
In Florida, we have a hard time imagining cold winter nights. That's why we're here. We often don't even experience cool winter nights. But in the wilderness of the Middle East, in a town called Bethlehem, on a cold night, a baby was born. His mother Mary looked at him and remembered all that the angel had told her. Joseph stood at her side, looking into the face of the child. Joseph had visited with angels too, in his dreams, just like another Joseph we know. And on that cold winter's night, Mary and Joseph looked at their newborn son with love. How silently the wondrous gift was given. One of my favorite cartoons to watch this time of year is the Charlie Brown Christmas special. And the best part of that is when Linus reads the story of the shepherds from Luke chapter 2. We read it last night. The shepherds were hardworking people. They probably didn't have the best benefit plans, probably didn't have health insurance. They worked all night long. They may have worked all day long too. And they may not have even owned any of the sheep that they were watching out for. They very well could have been keeping watch of the sheep owned by the temple for the temple sacrifice, as Larry Rush indicated in his Advent devotion. It's significant for us that Luke tells us that the angel of the Lord visited these working class shepherds to say, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy for all people. For to you, born this day in the city of David, is a Savior, Christ the Lord. And let this be a sign to you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." The angel didn't have to say it twice. Those shepherds went to see the baby, who would be called the Good Shepherd. Matthew tells a different story of different visitors. Three magi, or kings, or wise men, who travel from the east. We don't really know if there were two or three or four, but we do know that they brought precious gifts from their culture, gold and frankincense and myrrh. If the shepherds represent the working poor, the kings represent the most wealthy. The kings saw the star, and as their studies had taught them, when something amazing happens in the heavens, something equally amazing happens on earth. They too went to visit the baby, the newborn king. It must have been so amazing to see the baby, the one we call Good Shepherd, Prophet, Priest, King. And he was born in such humbling, lowly circumstances. And yet, maybe that's the biggest clue for us about who Jesus is, by beginning his life not in a palace, not in a temple, but instead in a stable, in a place that is out of sight and out of mind. Maybe Jesus is showing us that his ministry is a humble ministry. His focus is on people who are often pushed to the side and forgotten. This child laid to rest on Mary's lap is the one who will go to the others, the one who will go to the others that the world has no room for. There's a Christmas movie that Elizabeth and I have been watching for at least 10 years, and it's called The Family Stone. It stars Diane Keaton, and I just keep calling him Coach, but his real name is Craig T. Nelson, I think. And at one point, a character in the movie sort of absentmindedly hums the tune of Joy to the World, and then she sings a little bit flat. She sings, "Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy." And that sticks with me. Repeat the sounding joy. That's the church's job. Our job is to hear the joy, the deep and abiding joy of Christmas. We hear the joy of Mary. We hear Joseph's own joy as he stands and smiles at all this that God has gotten him into. We hear the broad accents of joy and maybe some off-color remarks from the shepherds. We hear the foreign tongues of the kings as they come and kneel in respect, pay homage to the baby. We hear the joy of the angels that cry out glory to God in the highest heaven. We hear the joy as the church, and it's our job to repeat the sounding joy, not to muffle it or to mute it, but to repeat the sounding joy. Let's stand together and sing hymn 115, Away in a Manger.